Two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 104.
Happy birthday!
More top five villains. I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
Yes, we're going to do some top five villains this week. Murray is on sabbatical. He's in a special pelting project for his government.
An undisclosed location.
Yes.
Tell us where he was, he would have to kill us.
Exactly. So we're kind of, you know, we're doing a little top five villain things. We've done this before. Back on, I think it was episode 22, I believe. Now, I did get a chance to, yeah, top five villains. Yes. Back on February 13th, 2012. So we're going to try it again. Hopefully I'm not going to duplicate things. Got tied up in some other things and didn't get my list together as quickly as I wanted. So we'll be working on that. Caleb, on the other hand, is perfectly prepared and ready to go. So I'll be playing off of him.
I'm always perfect and I'm always prepared. Just like Mary Poppins.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
No, I got nothing. Not for nothing. We have made no secret of the fact that this Villains Month, whatever the hell it's called, Evil Reborn, is not our favorite concept that DC.
No.
Come up with, and the way they're marketing it is irritating.
Did you see the thing? They got the Blu-ray out.
Yeah,
they got this Blu-ray out, and I forget what it's called, but it's basically, I don't know. Yeah, here it is. Necessary Evil, Supervillains of DC Comics.
And Necessary Evil, wasn't that Scott Bakula movie where he was playing football? Oh, no, that was necessary.
Okay. So, what this is, it's a documentary feature where they're talking to experts like Jeff Johns, Jim Lee, Dan Didio, or Zack Snyder, and Richard Donner, and you're going to get far more material you could possibly use. And so, basically, they've got all this unused footage from different documentaries from their straight-to-video cartoons that they make. And they put it all in one Blu-ray called this, and this is what it is. So yeah, and that's the kind of thing that they're.
That sounds like something Ed Wood would produce.
Yeah, it's. I saw that, and I was actually surprised that they did this. I mean, they're really pushing this.
Remember when they showed it in that movie Ed Wood, the Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
And they showed him putting together Plan 9 from Outer Space, and it was all this. It was just footage that he stapled together and made.
Yes, that's right. I remember hearing about that.
That's what this kind of says. The way you're describing it makes it sound.
Yeah,
like
that. Let's. Oh wait, we don't want that.
My point being is that we bag on it, but.
Yeah.
You know, DC knows what we all know is that you can't have a hero without a villain, and mm-hmm. Crappy villain is, in the old days that would have been one page of fighting. Nowadays it would be a 6-issue story arc, but
yeah. But I have to admit they've got Christopher Lee as the narrator.
Yeah.
So yeah, they put some money into that sucker.
Yeah, so he's on screen more than he was in the third Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
We
My
just
goodness.
Watched Star Trek VI, speaking of Christopher Lee.
Yes. Trek VI?
Wasn't he the bad guy? Oh, no, that's Christopher Plummer.
I'm talking about Sauron. Well, yeah. You know.
Never mind.
So, anyway, full cast and crew. They're only crediting him. I'm trying to find out how much it is, but I don't see it. It hasn't been released yet.
Sounds like a download, directed download.
Yeah, it's not coming out to the 25th.
October? I mean, they're going to be, full swing already into their thing.
Whatever. Yeah. That sounds like a last-minute thing, too, then.
Quick, we need something else to market.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I give them props for giving it all, going all out, and just like they did when they rebooted their whole freaking line, it's a bold move to basically shut down the line for a month and put out all these little specials. I think that's a very, very bold move. I think it's going to bite them in the ass, to be honest with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think, you know, because it just doesn't have quite the same feeling of consequence when they rebooted the whole line, which obviously, you know, mm-hmm. worked very well for them, at least sales-wise, 2 years ago.
Right.
So, I give them props for taking the dive into this thing for a month, but I just, you know, honestly, because each issue of this villain thing focuses on a specific villain, if I don't have any interest in that villain to start with, mm-hmm. I ain't buying it, you know. I'm sorry, you know, and I'm only buying, you know, for instance, I don't care about E is for Hero or whatever it is, but I did care about Dial H. Mm-hmm. Or not Dial E is the villain's one, but I do care about Dial H, so I will get that.
Dial E, okay.
I
was like, E? What the hell are you talking about?
That's what it's going to be. That's the villain, Dial E, for evil, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, gotta give them the good luck. And I just think their sales are gonna tank.
Well, I don't know. We might be surprised.
Line wise, I think they're gonna tank. I think the Batman ones. I mean, it depends on how they count the numbers. If they say all four issues of the Batman one mm-hmm. count as one big sale, hey, that's gonna.
You can count it any way you want to make it a success, though.
Of course. Line wise, it was a huge success. We sold 7 million copies. So, okay, good luck.
Divided by 6, carried the 3.
Yeah, so my villains, in fact, I only have one new 52 villain in my, and he's not even a new 52 version of the villain. I'm going to just go ahead and start with him since we were talking about that.
Yeah.
It is, and this is more of the cartoon version than the comic book version,
mm-hmm.
Black Manta.
Yeah.
But he was introduced way the hell back in September of 1967 in Aquaman number 35, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, of all of the Challenge of the Super Friends bad guys, he was, in my opinion, the coolest. That voice he had, that electronic gravelly voice that he
yes, I remember that. That just hit my head just as soon as you said it. Yeah,
it's a good one. I'm not a huge Aquaman fan. Never have been. Probably no dig on Geoff Johns. Probably never will be. I mean, I think the only time I read it regularly and enjoyed it regularly was the Peter David run. And even that I dropped off even before Peter David left the book. I stopped reading it. But mm-hmm. I do remember I bought an issue of it because it focused on the origin of Black Manta. I think he's a cool character. Well, it looks like he's been on Batman Brave and the Bold. He was on
mm-hmm.
Justice League Unlimited. He was also featured very prominently in the Young Justice cartoon.
That was that's probably my favorite incarnation. There's actually some depth to the character. Though I have to admit, what's been going on in The Flash, or not The Flash, what the hell am I thinking, Aquaman, I like what Johns has done there too. So.
Yeah, and I think the character,
I need to catch up.
He wasn't given much backstory back in the day when he was first created. He was just a pissed off guy.
Yeah.
In fact, it even says in his bio here, for most of his published history, Black Manta had no definitive origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And it took until 1993 before he even had something resembling an origin story.
Yep.
So he was around for, goodness gracious, almost 30 years before someone said, you know what, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
So I'm... I'm intrigued by him. And again, given how little there is on him, there's a lot to be intrigued about. He's a good opposite for Aquaman because he's not a water breather. He's an air breather who is kicking ass under the water. There you go. There's one of my villains that I have a fondness for.
Yeah.
And that's one of the I think I'm going to pick that villain book up next month.
Mm-hmm.
September 2013.
All right.
Just in case you're listening to this sometime in the future.
Okay.
Because believe it or not, there are more and more listeners to this show.
Yeah, I think there is too. I wish I could get specific stats, but.
Stupid iTunes.
Yeah. But anyway, well, I'll see. One of mine, this is not in any particular order.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Though I usually do it that way, I'm not doing it this time. I'm going to say Talia al Ghul. Her recent run in Batman Incorporated elevated to her to a level of evilness that
evil.
Yeah, is something. She, spoilers, everybody, if you haven't read that stuff yet. She stole, well, it depends on which version, but I mean, the Grant Morrison version, the Damian, Bruce Wayne's son, their son, she made him in a test tube, but it was from his DNA. So she stole Bruce Wayne's DNA, which we won't get into that. How that happened.
Come on.
Test tube baby, you know, tried to use Damien against him because she was spurned in love. He ended up siding with Batman. She has him killed by a freakishly grown another one. That's just with, yeah, and they find out that, you know, this big, huge thing that's Damien's brother has still got the young face and of, looks just like Damien. It was pretty, pretty wild. I got up way too early and it's all of a sudden crashing down on me like a ton of bricks. But anyway, yeah. That's some heavy duty stuff there.
Spoilers, but her story, quote unquote, comes to an end in Batman Incorporated number 13.
Yes, and as well it should, for what she has done, and not just because of that, but her Leviathan evil corporation did untold damage and killing and all that good stuff. So yeah, not good.
Not good. Yeah. That's just wrong.
That's not how we like to play. So yeah. Some heavy stuff.
She took on a more bad guy role recently. I don't even know, because you know, when you look back at like some of her earlier appearances, she was just she was just her daddy's whore. It seemed like so.
Yeah.
And get knocked up. Come on, the bat. You know, get the attack.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He has that Middle Eastern mentality that, you know, women are of lower on the, you know, on the scale than men. So that's what you get with that. So.
Well, she first appeared. Look at this, 1971, May 1971.
Yeah, I believe so.
And her dad just was pissed off that he had a girl.
Yep. And Detective Comics number 411, which I'd like to read some of those old Ra's al Ghul stuff, because, you know, by the time I was really heavy duty into Batman again, all that stuff, you know, I was a kid when all that crap, well, literally, I was like barely a year old, because this was in December of 72, So there you go. And yeah, this little thing I'm reading here on Comic Vine has her listed her death as Batman Incorporated number 13, which, you know, her father has Lazarus Pit, so that doesn't mean she's out completely. We've all heard it before. It's a comic book death, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Well, and I think the Lazarus Pits are gone. Isn't he using some character as Lazarus blood or something like that?
Yeah, that's what they said at the end of that, wasn't it? He had destroyed all the Lazarus Pits. I'd forgotten about that. Very, very good catch.
Thank you. I was paying attention when I read these things.
Yeah, I need to read it again, apparently.
So I have come to a very solid decision that I just don't like Grant Morrison stuff most of the time. So
yeah, I really did like his Batman stuff, but it just depends on what it is, you know. That's all I can say, really. It just depends on what it is, because I'm really hit and miss with him, so. But I'm not real fond of him killing off Damian, though, even though he said he was going to do it from the beginning. I don't know. It's hit or miss, like you said. I mean, that for me, anyway. But.
All right, well, next for me, kind of a cheat, I get it, but, you know, he has appeared in comic strips, The Master. I'm a recent convertee over to the Doctor Who insanity.
Yeah.
My real exposure to the Master was the John Simms one when he was going up against which Doctor was that? It was the Tenth Doctor, whose name I'm blanking on, the actor.
The Tenth Doctor, David Tennant.
Tennant, yes.
Yeah. Those were good episodes.
And it was Martha Jones was the companion at the time.
Awesome episodes.
Yeah,
she wasn't on longer. I really enjoyed her acting.
Martha Jones?
Yes.
That character? Yeah. No, she was good. We're getting to the end of the free episodes on Amazon for us, so we're having to make the decision pretty soon here whether we're going to pay to catch up. So.
Oh, well, I thought season 5 and 6 and all that was still free.
It is, but season 7 is now on Amazon, and they have the first 5 episodes, the last ones with Rory and...
Well, have you watched all those other ones then? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we are 4 episodes away from being caught up on the free one.
I see. Okay, now I understand.
With the new companion, I don't know what her name is, but there's a...
Mm-hmm.
It comes after Rory and... what's her name? So, anyhow, the Master is basically he's the anti-doctor.
Yep.
He's also a Time Lord, but he is absolutely bug shit crazy.
Tell me about it.
But he's also, you know, really smart, and he eventually, you know, he redeems himself, and then, you know, and then he dies without regenerating at the end of the last story that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, there were comic strips that involved in the Doctor Who magazine. As a matter of fact, one of them was by, looks like Dan Abnett did one of them back in 91. I didn't realize Dan Abnett was even alive in 91.
He's been doing stuff longer than I thought, too. I saw something that reminded me of that.
I know he did a bunch of stuff for 2000 AD and stuff, but he has been around for quite some time. All props to the character. He really, more than the Daleks, more than the Cybermen, the Master really, he is the anti-doctor. And I wish they would bring him back again, but at the same time, I kind of hope they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a cool villain. I hope it's not I went kind of off script by using him, but
that's fine.
He has appeared in comic strips. But mostly, of course, in the TV shows. Matter of fact, looks like he was played by one time by Eric Roberts.
Really? Oh, that's right. They did a TV movie, didn't they?
Yeah, an American.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And Derek Jacobi, of course, played him. And Derek Jacobi rocks. So,
mm-hmm.
can't knock that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Wow, he played. Yeah, it was in a Doctor Who television movie where he went up against the Eighth Doctor.
I actually, that's the first time I ever saw a Doctor Who.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I had seen, because I'd worked at a while for a place called Suncoast Motion Picture Company, which is basically a very expensive video store. I worked in there, and they had all these Doctor Who. As before, DVDs hadn't quite taken off yet. They were right there at the cusp of it. So there were still just bunches and bunches and bunches of VHS tapes that they had all these episodes of Doctor Who. And I was like, you know, and I was like, that was interesting. And I'm like reading the back of them every once in a while. And so I was like, when that came on TV, that was my first chance of exposure. Things, you know, you didn't. Internet, you couldn't download or watch on TV or your computer a bunch of Doctor Who episodes all day like you can now. So,
right.
You
had to hunt them up.
Yeah, you had to hunt them down. So, that was something.
That is, in fact, what Murray is probably hunting and pelting for right now.
Yeah.
Episodes of Doctor Who. No.
Yeah, I heard there's some out there. I was reading it. There's some out there that are like that. So I found a thing on, I think I posted it. It was on the trusty Plinko stick. Have you ever heard of that blog?
No.
Yeah, it's a comic blog that I look at every once in a while. And he has this big, long thing about, hey, you want to get in? People ask me this all the time. How do you get in? I want to get into Doctor Who. Where do I start? And he's this first part, and he just details the crap out of it, and it's pretty awesome.
I fell in bass backwards into the show, so it.
Well, yeah. See that when it came on the BBC America ones. They syndicated them on Sci-Fi. That's how I started.
Hmm.
And those were the first, and you know, I've been ever since. And I'd kind of like to see some of the older stuff. No way, I take that back. I did see, was over at a friend's house, and it was a bunch of us, and we watched this special that had like six or seven doctors in it. Some special. That one I saw too. So I saw that before that. So anyway.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. I'd have to look it up.
I guess there's this 50th anniversary special that they did with a bunch of doctors. In it as well.
Yes, and today, which will be yesterday for the people listening to this, they are going to announce the 12th Doctor today on a special on BBC America.
The resurgence of Doctor Who is just incredible. Yeah. I mean, this thing, talk about in waves. I mean, you go back, you know, 10 years ago, people would not even admit they watched Doctor Who unless they were hardcore.
Mm-hmm. I got that feeling.
And now it's just it's made a and I think I think it's because of BBC America, because you know, BBC America is respected, the right word, I don't know, but it certainly
seems to be
and definitely, yeah, I don't know, do they show Doctor Who on Sci-Fi? I have no idea.
I don't think they do anymore, because that's when I they stopped showing it during the David Tennant thing. And it wasn't until the last year or a couple of years that I went back and I finally watched all those. I'm like two episodes into the Matt Smith era, which is funny because I started that, and then 2 days later he announced he wasn't going to be on the show anymore.
We're almost done with the Matt Smith era.
So did you end up liking him better?
He grows on you. He definitely grows on you. There's as you get further in, and I think it's also because his companions become more likable as time goes on as well, and I don't know, I'm gonna miss him when he leaves or when we finish his run, but I guess he's still got one more. He's still gonna do the Christmas episode this year, and then of course the annual Christmas episode, and then that'll be it.
Yeah, those are always good.
Yeah, we saw the one. I think it would have been last year's, or maybe it was 2000. It might have been 2011's. We watched yesterday. So, Rusty Plinko Stick. Okay.
Yeah, he wrote a post, The Guide to Classic Doctor Who for Noobs, Part the First.
50 years. 50 years that freaking show's been on.
Yeah, that's a long... Well, they took a long... if you look it up on Wikipedia, they have a list of everything.
Yeah.
And there was a 20-year gap, roughly. Yeah. But yeah. Still.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I've seen, on Netflix, I've watched a couple, or one of the quote-unquote classic episodes, and it had the same sense of humor. It's not as wacky as some of the current episodes, but it, and it's clearly a product of its time, because, you know, the level of political correctness is just incredibly 1960s. So.
Which means none.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's funny.
Anyhow, who you got next?
All right. One that, I don't know, I never did really, you know, it's a cool concept for a character. He was in a movie even, but it wasn't until the recent run on Daredevil that I really appreciation of this character, Bullseye. This last run in Daredevil where, now, there was a time in Daredevil lore where he went bad. And then he did a rebirth and yada, yada, yada. Now you got the current run, which that's the first time I've ever read Daredevil on a consistent basis. You know, Mark Waid, we all know the story. I'm not going to get into it. You know, but anyway, so he takes his character that, and he makes it realistic. He comes back, but he's not, you know, Daredevil did a number on him. Well, killed him supposedly. But in fact, he lived. And, you know, spoilers, by the way. But and so while he's been in this big iron lung thing all this time, and the whole time he was there, you know, in this iron lung, he's been plotting his demise, Daredevil's demise. And boy, does he come up with some freaky stuff. Totally sick, twisted stuff. Stealing his father's bones from the grave and putting it in his desk, Daredevil's desk, make him look like he was going crazy and all this other stuff, and which it ends up almost working. Everybody else thinks he's crazy. And it's just really, I mean, it did almost completely shatter Matt Murdock. And it's some of the it's the best Daredevil story I've read. Because I was actually looking forward to each issue coming out, and but you know I've never been a big Daredevil fan until now, and I got onto it because of, you know, Mark Waid's writing it, and but I actually like the character, so
yeah, it's interesting they gave him a brain. Normally he's just a nut job, but given his circumstances, he kind of developed a brain.
Yeah, he's like criminal mastermind.
Yeah. I liked him when he was used in Dark Avengers. He was a kook.
Yeah.
And he was when he was supposed to be Hawkeye.
Oh yeah. I've seen read some of those issues.
Yeah, that was actually for me that was a good depiction. He also got his own miniseries at around that time. And again, just not a nice guy.
No,
not a nice guy. And he, you know.
Killed Elektra.
Of her many deaths.
Yes.
Her many, many, many deaths. And dying again and again.
Bad stuff. He was in the Thunderbolts for a while, looks like.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Well, what bad guy hasn't been?
Yeah, this is true.
Well,
anyway. Yeah, that was something else. So,
well, I'm going to stick with Daredevil villains then.
Okay. Yeah.
This is actually based more on just the Frank Miller depiction in Born Again, because he kind of was a badass, and that would be the Kingpin.
Mm. Yeah.
I kind of always imagine, especially the way that Frank. Oh, hold on, let me back up here a little bit. The Kingpin was first a Spider-Man villain. Amazing Spider-Man number 50. Remember that comic Amazing Spider-Man? Do you remember when they published Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when they had like five or they put it out every week there for a long time.
July 1967, created by Stan Lee and John Romita Sr. Wilson Fisk is his real name. He goes by the Kingpin. But in Born Again, and I don't know if maybe in previous appearances he did this as well, but it never seemed like he yelled. It seemed like, you know, no matter how many of the other word, you know, word balloons that were floating around the panel, any of them coming from him, always ended in a period as opposed to an exclamation mark. Like, everything he said, he just talked. He just very calmly, "We're going to kill you now. You know, you messed up. You lost the shipment. I'm sorry." Or he wouldn't even say sorry. "You're going to need to be eliminated now." And just calmly would say stuff.
Yeah.
And he's a very intimidating, big guy. And again, I don't know if prior to the Miller depiction, the Miller Masicelli depiction, but he wasn't just a big fat guy. He was like a massive muscle.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, and again, everyone always called him fat guy, but I mean, again, the way Miller depicted him, he was taking out ninjas.
Yes, exactly.
And not breaking a sweat. And
oh yeah, no kid.
I just thought he was kind of a scary guy. I didn't like I didn't like the Daredevil movie to start with, but
It could have been a lot better.
What was the actor's name? The one who recently passed away, played him in the movie.
Oh, I don't remember. But I know what you're talking about.
Here we go. It was Michael Clark Duncan.
Mm-hmm. Really good in The Green Mile.
That's right.
A lot better in that movie.
He had the build for it, but he got a little crazy wild in the movie, and the movie went off the rails a lot, but I didn't like that depiction, but that's the build. Because Michael Clark Duncan, he was a massive muscle.
Oh, yeah, he was. A
good choice casting-wise. Just a shame that it was a piece of... wasn't a great movie.
Yeah, it was okay.
By the way, that also had Bullseye in it, but...
yeah, that's what... yeah. There's your link there.
There's our link. And my goodness, wow, the Kingpin has been all over... cartoons. He has been a ton in the cartoons. He was a lot in this Spider-Man the Animated Series. He was one of the main in that one.
I haven't watched any of that.
It was one of the older ones. It was from 1970s, maybe
1980s. Oh, I remember that. Those, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, he was in there a lot.
They keep having him voiced by black guys. It was Roscoe Lee Brown did the voice for him. And then Michael Clark Duncan actually voiced him in Spider-Man, the new animated series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But he was also black in that, apparently, so never mind.
Okay.
John Rhys-Davies played him in the trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Is he even that character even around now? I think he is, isn't he?
Who, that actor?
No, the Kingpin.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in recent issues of Superior Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Until the recent issues of Superior Spider-Man, he was controlling the hand in that neighborhood that he had decimated during that crossover. That street level crossover they had in the comic books, which
yeah.
What was the name of that? It's gonna bug me now.
Big Time?
No. Shadowland.
Oh yeah, that.
So he took over the hand, which is a bunch of ninjas, mm-hmm. in that it was a street level crossover storyline. And then, yeah, there was Big Time, but now he's Marvel now. Mm-hmm. He got dethroned by the Superior Spider-Man.
Did he now?
Spoilers.
Huh. That sounds like that's a interesting story.
I'm loving Superior Spider-Man.
I want to read all the ones that came before that, though, the lead up. So I've still got some trades to read, and then, of course, buy some ones that have come out since then. So
easy to catch up.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's my third pick is
okay.
The soft spoken yet going to break you in half, the Kingpin.
That one. Okay, my next one, is one I'm really kind of tired of. But it's kind of, especially for this day and age, having somebody like this makes sense. Amanda Waller.
Hey, you think she's a bad guy?
I think she is.
Oh, okay.
Well, and the thing I'm looking at on Comic Vine considers her one too, but I think she is in a way, maybe not as much now, New 52, but she was definitely a villain in previous New 52. I don't know. She's just oh, man, pardon me. Damn. I am so sorry. Just the way she does things. I don't know. She's
a master manipulator.
Yes, she is. And that's the kind of thing. I don't know. I don't like that. It's the whole big government thing. And, I could just see. It's just the way she does things. She's very smart, and but you know how she handles things are just not right. The whole Justice League of America thing is just made to come up to tackle the Justice League and all that. But I did like the little bit of what they did in Batman Beyond, in Justice League Unlimited, what they did. They had, the one where she was in, the one that caused Terry Guinness to become Batman, come to find out that he was made by DNA from Bruce Wayne. She somehow got it introduced into his mother, and he's actually Bruce Wayne's son.
Jeez, how much Bruce Wayne DNA is floating around out there?
Well, she had taken it at one time. Apparently she had made she had decided at one point that there always needed to be a Batman, even though that she went back and forth. But yeah, it was a real interesting episode. I need to go back again and find out. And but yeah, they show Terry a lot older. Probably he's in his 30s probably. And that's that I don't remember how it all comes about, but that's what they did in that episode, and it was pretty cool. And she showed up in the Justice League and Superman Beyond, I think, as well. Cobra had kidnapped her, but there was some stuff going on there too. So a new Hush showed up. That was a limited series that they did in Batman Beyond. But see, then she kind of softened a bit, and she still did things that were, a little bit off the rails. But she was doing it in a little bit different way. But anyway.
Well, to take nothing away from Damian Wayne, but I wonder which came first. Actually, which did come first? The story of Terry McGinnis being the clone of
Terry McGinnis did.
Oh, before Damian Wayne?
Well, yeah, but the Batman the Batman Son of the Demon thing, where they, in that old story, which I have a reprint of, they actually, Bruce Wayne and her actually, and Talia actually sleep together.
Yes, they do.
And she has a child, which she gives up for an adoption. So that is was already out there. But when Morrison got a hold of it, he changed it where she did him in a test tube. Why, yeah. I don't know, but still.
Well, we know why, but because of what happened at the end of Batman Inc. number 13. You know, to Grant Morrison's credit, he always has a grand. He always has his ending set up before.
He thinks things out way ahead of time.
Yeah. So he knew where it was going to end up, so he had to be growing in a test tube.
Yeah.
Amanda Waller. Okay, I can see her as a villain. I get it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she's that at that point now, but she definitely was one in the Justice League cartoon, and you know, in from what I've seen in the Suicide Squad. Well, okay, in Checkmate, the Checkmate series, she was definitely a ruthless. She was on the line of being a villain for sure. The way she did things, and she killed people without any compulsion or whatever to her own agenda. So,
yeah.
Correct me, people, if you think I'm in error, but I would consider her one.
Okay.
Anyway.
I will not correct you.
Okay.
I will, however, move on to my next villain, which is the Justice League villain, who's created in came out Brave and Bold, number 30, June of 1960. Gardner Fox and Murphy Anderson created him. He is, and I the pronunciation of this guy's name has been all over the board. For me, it's always been Amazo, though.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I just it, kind of in the same way that I like superhero team ups, you know, superhero team ups, or when they go up against teams of villains that have similar powers, which is, you know, always fanboy wank stuff. This guy was cool because he had all of the powers of the Justice League.
Yeah.
Depending on who wrote him, depending on who was, you know, at the, whatever time he was appearing, his level of power was always a little different. But heck, he was even defeated because he had the detective skills of Batman.
Yeah, seems like I heard that one once.
Which was just one of the goofiest. That was for me. You heard that. It was in an episode when we pulled out random issues of comic books. But
oh yeah, that's right. I think I remember that now. I'll have to do that again now that I have access to my bomb boxes. I can touch them from right where I'm sitting.
Cool.
Literally do it live right on the episode and just pull one out, and that would be interesting.
Well, that would. Yeah. It's just scary, man.
Yep, it is.
So he's built by Professor Ivo, who's like nut job, and he just, you know, over the years he has been different levels of, you know, different power levels, you know, whether it's, you know, he has all the powers including Superman and Green Lantern, or, you know, he gathers them then loses them and then gathers them and loses them.
Yeah, they tended to make him do one at a time a lot, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm. It changed from time to time, and looks like he's been in the New 52.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah, I'm trying to see where the heck it was. In any case, you have automated meta-adapting Zeta operating.
Oh, that's right. That was they. I remember that. That was in Justice League. That's like a program that's part of Cyborg.
Yeah, that's it. So they're saying it's pronounced Amazo. Amazo.
That's how I always did it.
So because there's the B-Mazo operating system, so he's the A-Mazo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting little touch there, wasn't it?
Sure. And he's appeared everywhere. I mean, they even had a version of him in Captain Carrot.
Did they?
Yeah, Amazo.
Oh, wow.
When they went to Earth C-minus and fought the and were teamed up with the Just a Lot of Animals.
There you go.
He was on an episode of the Justice League cartoon, Justice League Unlimited.
They really did good on those.
He was in Young Justice. He was on an episode of Batman Brave and the Bold, even.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Let me see what else.
That was a really good series.
He's been all over the place, and he's just a badass. You know, he always seemed to screw up at the end, but...
it was more like it's an AI, and it can't think out of the box, I think, is what always defeats these kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't... exactly. Looks like they're showing that at one point he was considered the brother of Red Tornado.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah, it's all in here. Thank you, Wikipedia. He was an Aztec for a couple issues. Mm-hmm. We're speaking of Grant Morrison. And Hourman. He was an Hourman bad guy.
Yeah, I seem to remember that.
Anyhow, he's one of those villains that I enjoy reading him as the bad guy. I enjoy if there's an issue that show him as the bad guy, I'll go, cool. Because I know that it's going to be a slugfest. I know it's not going to be a talky issue. There's going to be fists of thrown and beat.
Oh, yeah. There's always a good beat down when Amazo shows up.
Yep. Beams flying over the place and lots of superpowers going on. That is a number four. No particular order. That's my fourth choice. I mean, instead of number four, it's the fourth choice for me.
Yeah. Okay. For me, recently brought up with the Man of Steel movie. If you didn't know it already, Caleb.
What happened?
He is the big bad. And then they've done this character off and on for a long time, and the take they did in the Man of Steel movie was interesting. He really, I won't get into too much detail. I mean, I don't want to ruin it for guys, but it was a different take. But that character is one of those, and it's on this kind of the other side of the Amanda Waller thing. They think they're doing good, but he's gone way over the line. He's just an evil dictator type. Thinks it's the only way that there could be any kind of rule or peace or safety is under him. And they did the one that they did where they Andy Kubert did the art for it. Let's see. The Pocket Universe one. Or was it? The New Krypton. Yeah, the New Krypton storyline that they did for a while in the Superman comics I really liked. It was got more screen time, I guess, as you could say. And showed up. It was interesting. It was a lot of good stuff there. So.
Yeah, no, he's a good counter to mm-hmm. Superman.
Yes, absolutely.
The same powers and all that kind of stuff, but he's a zealot, and it's like you said, he doesn't necessarily kind of in the same vein as like Ra's al Ghul. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really consider himself a bad guy.
No, he doesn't.
Despite him being actually a bad guy, he believes that he's doing something for the greater good.
Yeah.
And if people have to die in the process, mm-hmm. that's just too bad, so sad.
Yeah, I was reading, I'm looking through these other versions of it, and Earth 15 Superman. General Zod is a Superman of Earth 15, a peaceful Earth. He and his wife were expecting a child before Superman Prime showed up and killed Zod because he was not a maniac. Prime then destroyed that Earth. Oh, Superboy Prime, yeah, okay.
He killed him because he wasn't a maniac.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I haven't seen Man of Steel yet, but I Terrence Stamp will always be Zod.
Yeah. And of course, he's the classic. Terrence Stamp. Yeah, you're right. Kneel before Zod. That was always good. But you see the Man of Steel movie, this new guy, he does a pretty good job too.
Michael Shannon is a good actor. I don't
think I'd ever seen him before, but this, but I could be wrong.
Let me see. I'm going through his quick thing of stuff he's done. I guess
he was in Smallville too. I didn't know that. Cause of course, I've never watched all of Smallville.
Well, then there's no way you would have known. Yeah, he's been around. He was in Groundhog Day. Look at that. Cool.
Oh, okay.
Neat.
Groundhog Day, really?
Small role. Ooh, he was in Jonah Hex, which I never saw.
No, I never saw it either.
Never saw it. Never wasted my time.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate idea, unfortunately.
Don't get me started.
Not that much older than... He's younger than me. He's my sister's age, actually.
He's an infink.
Bad Boys 2, never saw it. Take Shelter, never saw it.
Oh, he was in 8 Mile. Cool.
Never saw that. Oh, he's in Boardwalk Empire. That's probably... He's got the most famous...
He's on Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah, that's what it says here. Oh, Nelson Van Alden.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, of course, of course. That's where I know him from then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking through here. I haven't seen any of these movies. Oh, wait, World Trade Center. Seems like I think I saw that. He was on an episode of Law & Order, Special Victims Unit.
Who hasn't been on Special Victims
Unit? Well, yeah, I know.
I've been on. You've been on. Yeah, we've all been on.
Yeah, I think we all have been on there.
Any case, good choice. Yeah, he's... He is definitely a big bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are one of those ones where you need a 6-issue series to, you know, get that out there.
Well, I'm gonna go more Earthbound in my next choice, and I think everybody who's ever read comics knows this guy. I mean, whether they read superhero comics or not, anybody who's ever read comics has familiarity with this guy. From 1942, from Jackpot Comics, number 5, and that's Reginald Mantle.
Reginald, okay.
Reggie from the Archie comics.
Oh, wow, I'll be damned.
Reggie from the Archie comics. He is Archie's nemesis, Archie's arch rival. Always sniffing around Veronica, even though Veronica, for whatever reason, would prefer Archie. God only knows why, but most of the time he's Archie's rival. Sometimes he's Archie's buddy. Depends on what the story is and
how
he fits in there. I guess in one of those imaginary future storylines, he ends up marrying Midge for some reason, or dating Midge. Hmm. And he also looks like he dated Veronica for a while in one of those alternate storylines. But he's the jock, always picking on everybody, coming up with ways for people to dislike Archie or Jughead or whoever. Always ends up losing.
Yeah.
Always ends up getting his butt kicked by Moose or somebody. God, yeah, he's always the second banana to Archie, though. I mean, all these girls use him as to make him jealous for Archie.
Well, it's a good gig if you can get it.
What has Archie got going for him?
I don't know. I have no idea. I really don't.
Now all of a sudden I'm feeling sorry for Reggie. He's even had some miniseries and publications out there. He had... he had a 1994. He had a miniseries called Reggie's Revenge. I wonder what that was about.
Interesting. It doesn't sound pleasant.
It does not sound pleasant. But he just like the rest of the Archie gang. He hasn't aged. He's perpetually in high school. The only thing that's gotten better is the cars. He's a Riverdale High School perpetual students.
Mm, yeah.
You know, he was in the, they had, he was portrayed in the movie, the Archie movie. Mm-hmm. What else? He had, oh look, he had a mom and dad, as well as a brother, Oliver. His brother's name was Oliver.
Interesting.
Probably disappeared as quickly as the Brady's Oliver.
Yeah.
Never mentioned again, along with Chuck.
Chuck, the older brother?
From Happy Days.
Yeah, I remember the older brother.
Okay, cool.
It was in like one episode, the pilot, I think.
I think we all had our
picks. They mentioned him a couple of times, like he was off to college or something, and then they just stopped talking about him altogether.
He's gone. I mean, we've all had a Reggie in our lives, so.
Yeah, actually. I was just talking to my sister the other day how my particular Reggie, you know, all these years later, tried to friend me on Facebook, and I'm like, I'm not going to friend you, you jackass, and he did nothing but torture me. And it tried three or four times. I'm like, seriously?
He found God or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking here. Oh, wait, I haven't started talking about mine yet. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm done. I can relate to the fact that he is the bad guy. He's the arch nemesis. He's not evil by any stretch. He's just
a kid.
He's just a kid who, you know, he just can't stand the fact that he doesn't get it either. I don't think he understands why everyone likes Archie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes no sense to him either. So
yeah, it's bad news.
It is bad news.
Not bad news, just, you know. Mm-hmm. One of those kind of people that you got to put up with, you know.
I feel sorry for Reggie now.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for those kind of people. I've dealt with many of them.
They're cartoon characters. They're comic books.
Exactly. It's fine.
Okay.
Okay. My last one. This is five, right?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I'll go more down to earth.
More down to earth than a high school student? Okay.
Well, no, I mean, this is more of down to earth villains. He's not a super villain. Doesn't have any special powers. But is probably the most disturbing villain that I have ever encountered in all the stuff that I've read. If not the most disturbing. And we're talking about the governor.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
The one on the TV show, they don't show it as much, but the guy who did that, I can't look at him, because I went back and watched it. He was actually in a Doctor Who episode.
Yes, he was. One of the Christmas ones, actually.
Yeah, that's right. And I could barely watch it, because all I could see was that governor character.
The eyes patch.
David Morsi, right?
Yeah.
And which, one thing I didn't like, but they were making him a recurring character.
Yeah, because he
survived.
He got killed off pretty quick in the comics.
Yeah, so. But the stuff that this guy did in the actual comic, I don't think they could ever put it on film, which actually they probably already have in different various forms. It would be NC-17 for sure. The most brutal stuff I'd ever seen. And actually, when I first read, it actually made me sick to my stomach. Some of the
stuff he did with Michonne. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that stuff, it made my stomach turn, man. But yeah, that when I think of pure unadulterated evil, when you're talking about fictional characters, that's the first character I think of.
Have you read his They did a book about
I was just about to talk about that. I was just looking here. I'd forgotten about that. The Rise of the Governor and The Road to Woodbury that Robert Kirkman and Jay Bolzanzinga.
I need to read The Road to Woodbury, but The Rise of the Governor is a really good read. Yeah, and it gives you, incredible insight. It's a different character than they have on the TV show. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But the one in the comic book is, it's a weird, weird life that guy led. Kind of get some insight into how he let himself get to that point.
Which, if you really think about it, in some ways, Rick is almost as gruesome, not as evil, mind you, but he isn't anywhere close to the person he was when the book started. I haven't read it in a while.
No,
so what?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, in the latest issues, you go back and you read number one or number two versus whatever 120 or whatever it's on right now.
Yeah, it's up in the hundreds. I've only been reading the hardcover, so I'm not up to date. But I've seen pictures and I get an idea of what's going on, and I'm sure it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Kirkman wanted to continue the series if Rick and his kid went off, you know, into the background.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, that's different. You're right, different character.
Yeah. But yeah, that and I tell you, the one on the TV show, that actor is so good at that character. It's just like you get this sense of dread and hatred that just the way that guy does it, it's just so encompassing. I guess I really, you know, he's able to do it so well, and it's a psychological thing that the writers of the show did, where things happen, you see things, and you get just enough of an inkling of what the comic book character was to be able to show it on television. I think they did a really good job with it.
You know, and I had read the comics that he was in before he appeared on the TV show.
Uh huh.
I kept like in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, are they going to show those particular moments?
Yeah.
It didn't get to them.
No.
And the part where they went crashing into the prison with that van full of the zombies, I thought that was going to be the swan song for the governor. Obviously, it's not, because he's turned into a popular character. But I kept thinking, oh, here it comes, and he's going to come charging in with the tank. And but that didn't happen either. But that's okay.
Yeah, I did. That I wasn't fond of that sequence of how that all went down, but I mean, it was just, I thought it was a little over the top.
Yeah, well,
but it made sense for the character. But how the other went, that was just as wild.
Show full of zombies. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a book full of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So the zombies have kind of become the secondary bad guys.
Oh, I know. That's what I love about the book. It doesn't focus on the zombies. It's the characters. And without good characters, I mean, that's why. I mean, I don't really like. I've never liked zombie stuff. And I've said it before. The only reason I started this reading it is because of Kirkman's work on Invincible, which I've been trying to get back into. I started reading the Compendium 1 again and reading it all from scratch. And I'll get out my issues that I had, and then I'll start looking online for the rest of them. I might start buying trades again. I don't know.
Kirkman's a freaking genius with those compendiums. I'm sorry. Every company should put out one of those compendiums.
Oh, absolutely. And the second one for Invincible is coming out here soon. I'm probably just going to get that. You know, having those hardcovers with all the fancy background art and stuff, I mean, that's cool. But, you know, boom, here's all of it. You know, it's like 49 or 8 to 96, and that's like only 3 or 4 months behind, I think.
Yeah, I'm starting my Compendium 2 right now, up on the shelf. And so, Compendium 1's in a co-worker's house right now. I'll get it back from her eventually.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, that's what I'm thinking about doing that, so.
Yeah, those compendiums are great. I think every series that has that length of run,
mm-hmm,
should do it. I think the Image was made a good choice by allowing him to print those out like that. Well, first of all, it's been on the New York Times bestseller list, the compendium, for like 2 months. So, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
For graphic novels.
Yeah. No, it's a great idea. I'm glad they do it too.
And it's cheap. It's cheap.
Yeah. The coffee I got was really cheap.
You can get it from Amazon. It's like, I think it was less than $30 for the whole chunk of almost 50 issues.
Yeah.
Well, I also had Mordrew on my list and the Mandarin. Those are my other.
Have you seen Iron Man 3?
Hmm?
Have you seen Iron Man 3?
I did.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was a good movie, actually. Yeah. I thought it was... of the three, it was the weakest, but it was certainly...
Yeah, I will go with that, too.
It was certainly stronger than a lot of, you know... It was certainly stronger than, say, Spider-Man 3.
Oh, good Lord, yes.
You know, definitely stronger than Superman 3, or stronger than... You know, there's been a lot... I can pull out a lot of ones that it was stronger than. But of the three, the weakest, but certainly certainly very cool in its own right, and their use of the Mandarin... Was and the more I thought about it, was very reminiscent of Batman Begins, but
yeah,
you know, the same way they had the fake the fake Mandarin, just like they did in Batman Begins, they had the fake Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was surprised that they did such a big actor like
Ben Kingsley,
and then just basically kind of threw him to the side almost. It was like a distraction.
He's Gandhi. He can't be a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it was interesting for sure. Definitely was.
And I'm not a big Iron Man fan. I mean, actually, the only time I really enjoy Iron Man has been the movies. He just doesn't appeal to me in the comic books.
I read it for a while.
The current series?
No, I read it back, I don't know, sometimes in the 80s or 90s.
Oh, Bob Layton period?
Yeah, that's when I was reading it, yeah.
The Iron Wars or whatever?
Yeah, I had a big chunk of those.
I think everyone did. It was a big deal at the time. Bob Layton, and I'm trying to remember who else was on there. Anyhow, the guys who went off and did a lot of the original Valiant stuff.
Yes. Exactly.
But I always thought my Mandarin was cool with the rings, and I got, you know, basically I got 10 different powers, kind of like what they're doing with that stupid Ben 10 character. I just don't like Ben 10. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, I don't like Ben 10. Can't help it. Anyhow. Mordru, I like a good Mordru story.
Oh, Mordru is probably my favorite Legion villain.
Stupid hat aside.
Yeah. I always... My computers here in the office here, I always name them after Legion villains. My laptop, well, see, my main computer I use is Computo. Over there is Universo. And Mordru is offline right now because I'm going to mess with it later. But, yeah, that's what I do.
They all end in vowels.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know.
I just noticed that. Goodness gracious. That gym shooter.
Yeah, he's something else, isn't he?
You know, and Mordru stories are fun. They are.
Yeah, those are big stories.
They usually turn out to be big stories, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I thought we were going to get a Mordru story in this current run of Legion if it hadn't whimpered and out there at the end.
Did it? I don't know if I've read the latest one or not. I hate that they did that. Oh well, that's a whole nother podcast, isn't it?
I heard there's just some podcast out there that actually talks about the Legion. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be having a Legion podcast would be great, though, wouldn't it?
That would be great. I would support that. All right, I'm done. I'm spent.
I am too.
All right, yep. I need a nap.
I need one too.
I got an HOA meeting later, so.
Yeah. All right. Oh, HR meeting. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, HOA.
Oh, HOA. Okay. All right.
Yes, I'm going to go meet with the mayor of San Diego.
Oh, okay. Well, all right then.
You know the HR meeting.
Okay, you lost me.
You know that guy who's sexually harassing all of us.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And then he blames San Diego for any. Okay, that's all then.
Yeah, it's just like the guy that kidnapped. Those chicks, those girls and chicks, that was the wrong way to say it. Those women in Ohio, you blamed porn.
Yes, if porn was to blame, there'd be a lot more kidnappings.
Yeah, sure. Addicted to, well, I won't say what else he was addicted to, blah, 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 but anyway. Anyway, so yeah, enough about that. And that's it for this week. As usual, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthewombox.com. You can go to our Facebook page with the ever-growing players.
Yeah, who are you people and why aren't you posting?
Yeah, come on, man. Get in here.
Oh, God, my kids are losing it out there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hurry it up. And then, as always, you can post on the actual website, talesfromalongbox.com/the show. And that's it for this week. And we're out.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.